It's good to be here tonight. We'll turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm sorry, Ephesians chapter 4. I'm getting ahead of myself already. Ephesians chapter 4. And we have been considering 11 through 16. And we're going to consider just a few points before we actually go into some of the things that we want to talk about on tonight. We're getting closer and closer to presenting the plan to the congregation concerning our evangelistic program. We have a few more things we need to iron out. And once those things are ironed out and people are contacted, then hopefully we begin to put this out to you and see where you want to help us work. Three categories that we're going to be looking at for the next few weeks. And that's going to be leadership, training, and motivation. Leadership, training, and motivation. All three of these are vitally important if a people are going to move forward. Leadership, when we consider leadership, we're talking about organizing properly. How do we organize? What are we talking about? In Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 16, we see that the church is organized from the spiritual perspective from God. We looked at a couple of these passages a few weeks ago. We're not going to revisit them, but I did want us to consider verse number 11 through verse number 14, and then want to glance at verse 16. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And so here we see the organizational structure of the kingdom of God holistically. Now, the reason why I say holistically, because we understand the organizational structure of the church as it relates to Jesus Christ being the head. We understand that the foundation is the apostles and prophets, Ephesians 2:20. And then we consider the elders, deacons, ministers, and so forth. But we understand that apostles and prophets, they are still part of the leadership of the church, but in word form. There's your authority right there. And so what's the purpose? We see in verse number 12 is for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Notice the time word, till we all come to the unity of the spirit and the bond, unity of the spirit, or the unity of the faith. Look right at it and say it. Unity of the Spirit, unity of the faith, and the knowledge of the Son of God. God wants us to perfect some things, to be a mature man. But drop down to verse number 16. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. So I want us to focus on that just for a quick second. Every part doing its share. When we think about the local work, every part, everybody has to have a part to play, have to do their part. And one of the most difficult things, as we have discussed before, is getting everyone involved. Because you're always going to have individuals that don't think that, well, I don't know what I can do. Or like Moses, well, I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. And so excuses begin to mount up. But everyone must play their role, must play their part, as in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and following. But notice what he says, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And so this is the key. The key is for the church to edify itself, to build itself up, to encourage itself. And so when we consider evangelism and going out, seeking and saving the lost, and we put it in a different way on this morning, going out and talking to people, telling people what they need to do in order to be well-pleasing to God, to be holy, to be righteous, and to be on their way to glory. So the shepherds have a responsibility, deacons have their responsibility, ministers have their responsibility, the congregation as a whole has their responsibility. And so let's look at 1 Peter 5. In 1 Peter 5, in verse number 2, as I was studying this on Monday, I was looking at this kind of closely, a little closer than what I usually looked at it, and really trying to parse out the functions of the shepherd. The functions of the shepherd. So in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 2, Leon, when you can, I want you to read verse 1 and 2. 1 and 2.
The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly.
Now, if you notice, here we have the elders in verse number 1, but then you see the word shepherd or overseers. And when we consider overseers, we're talking about those who take the oversight. Episcopeo is the word there. And the idea of taking oversight is the idea of looking over, almost like a superintendent, if you will, like a superintendent. Look at 1 Timothy 3 and verse number 1, and then we'll put these thoughts together. So overseers serve as those who see over. They see over. They're taking oversight. They have the responsibility of making sure that the responsibilities of the church, the work of the church, are being carried out. It's like a manager, if you will. And so in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1, Brian, if you don't mind, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1.
This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work.
So here we see that Paul is telling the Timothy that if a man desires the office of a bishop. Now, if we consider the idea of a bishop, episcopal, same idea, but here's the definition of the word, oversight, overseer, charge, investigation, inspection, visitation. We have these different ideas. A superintendent, a manager, the management or arrangement of activities or organization supervision. The other day I was talking to you all about, or maybe I wasn't. Anyway, I was in a board meeting the other day at the YMCA, and we had someone come in from the Houston area. And we needed some instructions on how to discuss and change some of the bylaws that we have. And one of the discrepancies that was in the bylaws is what we called our CEO. It's interesting that we call the board managers and basically call the CEO governor. And she came in, she said, that's totally backwards. The board is actually the governance. The CEO is the manager. And I was thinking about that. How did we get that wrong? Well, it was wrong before I became a member of the board. But how did we get that wrong? If you label something wrong, you're going to perform wrong. And the more I thought about that, and I looked at the definition of a bishop, an overseer. In the definition, one that is organizing governance. And the more I thought about that, the more it made more sense how you have your shepherds and they have the responsibility of making sure that things are organized, things are operating according to God's standards, and that the people of God are actually working, active, if you will. And so 1 Peter 5 and verse number 2, 1 Timothy 3 and verse number 1, overseers, bishops have the responsibility of supervising administration, governance. And so we see this idea also in the book of Nehemiah. Turn your Bibles there. Because in the book of Nehemiah, it was about rising and building, rising and building. God's people had become a reproach, an embarrassment, a byword. And when we think about that, we have to keep in mind that Nehemiah was sent to Jerusalem to rebuild, to rebuild. Now, I want us to take notice of something. Look at Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse number 5. Because as it relates to organization, Nehemiah actually points this particular point out very well. Let me get Victor, if you don't mind, please read that for me. Chapter 2, Nehemiah chapter 2. Five.
And I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it.
Now, notice, in the book of Nehemiah, God's people have become a reproach, and Nehemiah gave the people of God a purpose. If God's people don't have a purpose, then what direction are they going in? How do we know what we're supposed to accomplish? When it is actually accomplished, how do we know it? So here, God's people had a purpose, and the purpose for the people of God here was to go and rebuild Jerusalem. Go and rebuild Jerusalem. Look at verses 11 through 16. We see a survey going on. Here, Nehemiah was going to go and survey the land. Go survey the land. So it came to pass. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. Then I arose in the night, I and a few men with me. I told no one what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, nor was there any animal with me, except the one on which I rode. And I went out by night through the valley gate of the serpent well and the refuse gate, and viewed the wall of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and its gates, which were burned with fire. Then I went on to the fountain gate and to the king's pool, but there was no room for the animal under me to pass. So I went up in the night by the valley and viewed the wall. Then I turned back and entered by the valley gate and so returned. And the officials did not know where I had gone or what I had done. I had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or the others who did the work. So he went and he surveyed Jerusalem, the land. He needed to know what needed to be done, those pivotal areas, in order for God's people to go and be secure and to get back to work. And so God's people needed a plan. And so we see this plan about to unfold. Look at verses 17 and 18. Giancarlo, you mind reading 17 and 18? So we see the purpose. We see him surveying. Now the plan.
And I I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, let him rise up and build. Then they set their hands to his feet.
All right, now a few things I want us to take notice of. Number one, notice what Nehemiah said. He said, you see the stress y'all are in? Is that what he said? What did he say? He said, we. You see the distress we're in? Hold on. Nehemiah wasn't there. He was in Persia. But those were his people. They're all in this together. That's a key point. But notice what else he says. Come and let us build the wall. Notice the encouragement. If I can say it, the motivation. Come, let us build the wall. So we hear we have a plan. And notice what they said in verse number 18. Let us rise and build. That's the agreement. And that's what God's people need. We need a purpose. We need to know what's going on. We need a plan. But we need agreement. So they said, let us rise and build. He said, at first, come, let us build the wall. They said, let us rise and build. And notice what they did in the latter part of verse number 18. Then they set their hands to do what? This good work. Isn't that what the church is designed for, Brother Leon? Good works?
Yes.
Ephesians 2:10? That's why God created the church. Which makes sense because Jesus went about doing good. We have the responsibility of doing that as well. Look at verse number 19, Josh Jennings, and then Josh Weakland, verse 20, after Josh Jennings. So we understand that every good plan is going to have opposition. You're always going to have somebody that's going to say, I don't know if we can do that. You're always going to have that. As a matter of fact, you should expect opposition. If you have good, you should expect bad. You should almost expect it. Here we see that God's people had opposition from Sanballat, Geshem, and Tobiah. But look at verse number 20. Josh Weakland.
So I answered them and said to them, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build. But you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem.
All right, good. So here we see the assurance. So we see about six things. We see the purpose. We see the survey. We see the plan. We see the agreement, we see the opposition, and we see the assurance. All of those in this text right here, which should tell us something as the people of God when it comes to organization, putting some things together. And so, again, putting together this evangelism program is just time consuming. Well, the other day, I remember Brother Jerry and we said, man, it's just taking us a little time to get this together. And Jerry said something that was just so encouraging. He said, when you're putting a plan together like this, it takes time to do it right. That was encouraging. Need encouragement like that. And this is from a man of God. And so to think about that was very encouraging. So how did they organize the work? Look at chapter 3. In chapter 3, we see words of organization, words of progress, words of labor. Okay? So in verse number 1, they built the sheep gate. They built it as far as the tower of the hundred, and they consecrated it in verse number 1. All through here, verse number 3, verse number 4, verse number 5, all the way down, you see them using words or words that are being used is they built, they made repairs, they made repairs, they made repairs. That ought to tell us something. That as we are building, and it takes time to build, that we're going to have small accomplishments along the way. Small ones. Well, let me give you one small accomplishment that the Lord allowed us to experience. So yesterday, a few of us went to some individuals that was recommended to us. As a matter of fact, it was Brother Corey Hall. Brother Corey Hall, of course, is a counselor. He does some work for us here as a counselor. And the other day he called and he said, hey, Mike, I met this guy. He's moving from Sweetwater to San Angelo. It's a pretty good prospect. I think if y'all approach him and talk with him, I think it'll be real good. He has a real good heart. I said, okay. So gave him a call, and sure enough, had a good conversation with him on over the phone, and asked him, well, do you need anything? Well, if anything, we probably just need a little food since we just got here, so forth and so on. I said, well, I was testing him a little bit. Do you want us to just bring you some money? No, don't bring us no money. We don't want any money. Just bring us some food. I'm like, okay, that's something. That's interesting. Well, what we did was, is since they just moved here, went ahead and we made a new mover's basket. Evelyn went and picked up some things and made them a new mover's basket. And we gave them some money from the church for groceries, and the elders approved of that, put a little card in there, and say, hey, welcome to San Angelo. Thank you for being here. So it was Brother Giancarlo, Sister Bonner, Brother Nicholas, and myself. And all four of us went over there. And it was a good visit. I mean, it was an excellent visit. And they said, well, we'll see you tomorrow. I said, okay, all right, good. And sure enough, they filled up a whole row. It was like 9 of them this morning. That was them here this morning. And Giancarlo said, man, that's encouraging. We're going to do this next week? I said, man, we just got to go find somebody. We got to go find somebody. I ain't going to lie, that was very encouraging. That's part of the repairs, brethren. That's the little accomplishments along the way. And the Lord has blessed us here with people obeying the gospel. Had a sister, she's a sister now, whose sister Laura Little brought. And she needed to be sure that she was saved. But she said, and this is what she said, and I quote, she said, now, I live here throughout the week, but I go home on the weekend. I'm a teacher here. She lives in Junction, so she'll be attending services there, but here on Wednesday night. That's fine. I said, we want to get you in the kingdom. As long as you're in the kingdom and you hear well done, that's what matters. We're not trying to fluff numbers and say, man, we got this. It's about how many people we have here. Who's faithful? Who's in Christ? And as long as we're working together, so Sister Laura Little did her little part, we did our little part. Brother Corey did his little part, we did our little part. And all of us are in this together working, and we're just making repairs along the way. Any comments, any questions before we go any further? Yes.
Talk about the board meeting and how they got things backwards. I think we also get things backwards because we're in such a academic society. We learn all of these things and we learn from the business model and the business perspective. But these are things that really God's word had to say well before a business ever even established it. We've been doing it. We just don't have a term for it. But businesses have terms for it because they have terms don't mean they originated it.
That's right.
We create small, it's called an ad hoc committee. And those are just situational committees that occur at the time something is needed. The ladies here do it all the time. When we have a ladies' day, what do? We create an ad hoc committee and we organize.
That's right.
And then once the ladies' day is over, that committee disbands. It's not in existence until it's needed again.
That's right.
But the eldership is our standing committee. The eldership is what the committee that is always meeting, constantly together, does not stop looking at what the church needs, what the situation is, and what is going on, and we are receiving information from that standing committee. The world has terms for it, but the Bible has given an understanding to us already by example of how it's supposed to happen.
That's a good point. Great point. Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? Let me make this point. When you look at Nehemiah chapter 3, it seems to me from my studies that Nehemiah had them working according to their families. According to their families. And they were making repairs according to their families. So I have a few things I want you to consider. Three things. Number one, we have to be all in. We have to all buy in as families. Every last one, we got to buy into it. Because if we don't, then, as we said this morning in our lesson, that we're not going to do our part as a family. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, if I'm single, then I am my own family. I understand that. I have a husband and wife. Then all of us, we need to be working together. We need to all buy into this. Number two, we must use the right tools. And so here you have individuals and they're working on the fish gate. They're working on the tower. They're working on hanging doors. You got people working on armory. All of the different works that they're doing in chapter 3, you got to have the proper tools for that. And as long as we're using the proper tools, then everything should work out correctly. And then number three, we must expect success. Shouldn't go into this saying, well, I don't know if this is going to work. Why not? As a matter of fact, I would rather go in there believing that this is going to work and it don't work instead of telling myself this is not going to work and then it's definitely not going to work. And so it's a mindset. It's a mentality. And so when we consider these individuals making repairs, this implies skills. This implies tools. This implies cooperation. Any comments? Any comments? Y'all are quiet tonight. Interesting.
It's kind of like a team effort.
It is a team effort. That's exactly what it is. And the very fact that Nehemiah had all of these individuals by their families working next to one another, it had to be a team effort. Remember, they had opposition. They had individuals that was trying to stop the work. And so we see language of completion in verse number 20. Look at verse number 20. Chapter 3 and verse number 20. After him, Barak, the son of Zabai, carefully repaired the other section from the buttress to the door of the house of Eliashib, the high priest. Now, the reason why I just brought up that one point, you keep reading, you'll see made repairs, carefully repaired. That's past tense language, means the work was done, which means that people wasn't just sitting there watching other people work. They were actually doing their part. And that ought to tell us something as well, because I don't want to sit there and watch someone else work. I want something in my hand. I want a job to do. And if we're going to continue to be as successful as God wants us, then I got to want to get involved in the work. Brian.
I've got lots of comments, but I'm trying not to take over the class.
Then so when we think of... Go ahead, Brian.
This morning we had a lot of people out.
Yes.
I just want to make an application right now. I mean, today yes, we're putting this evangelism program together, and we need to get it right. It's going to take pieces and parts, and we already are actually actively involved with this. I get a call every week now from Rob asking how it's going. Well, I've been able to faithfully report that we've had restoration, we've had baptisms, and it's because we are in pieces already doing this thing.
That's right.
So we're just going to continue to get better and better and build this as we're discussing the principles of Nehemiah.
That's right.
However, I want to make a point, and I'll save it. I won't say it now for later. You guys were all gone this morning. All the elders' wives, we had a potluck on the first Sunday. And immediately I realized that my wife was leaving too. And I realized, wow, I felt kind of a burden. And I immediately said, I gotta go see if we got enough food for this thing. Well, I want to tell you that it shouldn't be a surprise. But our brethren jumped into action, and three families in particular took off and went and got food. We had more than enough food.
That's right.
And you were asking about the fellowship, which is just a little piece of what we do.
That's right.
The action was there, and it was the team. It was people seeing to me, and the ladies stayed back and cleaned the kitchen.
That's right.
And I realized and learned, again, a valuable lesson. It's a good place to be.
That's right.
People will pick up when there's missing elements.
That's right.
Now, our contribution was quite a bit down this morning, so we need to make that up, too.
That's right.
From Melton, so.
That's right.
Everybody do their part.
That's right.
But anyway, that's been on my heart all day long. I've been thinking about that, and it really did comfort me today.
That's right. Amen. Victor.
That's one point out of that. Well, this, everybody's pitching in to help, too. But everybody was put in where they were needed or where.
That's right.
Where their talent kind of best used. But don't overlook, right there in verse 8, it says, Nixon, Gil, the son of Rahai, one of the goldsmiths, made repairs, and next to him, Hanai, one of the perfumers, made repairs, and they fortified Jerusalem as far as the four wall. I want to point out there, these people, their professions were not construction. It was not, you know, going out there and doing heaven and work, especially perfumer. This is with hands, dedicatedness, something like that. He jumped in where he was needed. It's like, Ryan said this morning,
that's right.
People are needed to fill in that gap, and they were willing to jump in where they needed to be. You know? So, yes, everybody needs their part, and everybody has their place, you know, where we're best able to serve. But don't be afraid to jump in if there's a gap and say, hey, at least there's somebody to come in and be enforced there, or they're supposed to be there, but be willing to expand if necessary to other jobs.
Victor, that's an excellent comment. Because everybody can do something. When we think about the work that we can do, well, let me rephrase that. Think about the work that you can do. And think about, okay, I think I can do this, but I just don't want to do this. I want to work on some areas where I'm not strong. And so actually put yourself in a position where you may be a little vulnerable. We hate that. Why? Because, well, I don't want to be embarrassed. Be embarrassed. We're your family. Because if you're doing everything that you're just good at, then there is no expansion, as Brother Victor just said. There's no growth there. We have to step out. We have to do those things that God will have us to do and actually work out our salvation with fear and trembling. I also notice in verse number 2, and also in verse number 12, we have men, but we also have women working, which means that all of us ought to be able to get involved according to the roles that we have. Everybody has to get involved. Eric, you have your hand up?
No.
Okay. Any comments? Yes, Sister Frieda. Oh, lovely. Yes, because we're going to go see him this week. Matter of fact, Royce don't even know, but we're going to go see him.
There's a song in our song.
Yes.
I don't know if it's in this song, but it's called There Is Room in the Kingdom.
Hmm.
And part of it goes, there is room, there is a place, there is something that we all can do.
That's right. That's right. That's an excellent point. Any other comments? Look at chapter 4, verse 6. So the answer to Sister Free's question, yes. And so, we have that address too. Yes, ma'am. You will get it. You will get it. In chapter 4, verse number 6, why were they able to accomplish this great task? Jamie, read that.
So built we the wall, and the wall was joined together unto half thereof, for the people had a mind to work.
So the plan of action was executed well. They had a plan. They executed the plan. So Nehemiah has formulated this plan. God put this plan on his heart, and he put the plan in front of the people. The people had a mind to work, built the wall halfway up to that particular point, which tells us that even the world knows that when you put your mind to something, you can get it done. And you remember, where is this passage, Leon? The sons of darkness are more shrewd than the sons of light. Ah, come on, man. Put him on the spot. He usually be spotted off like that. Anyway, we can do it. So let me throw a few things in front of you that the elders have been chatting about and still working on getting it finished, but I believe we'll get it done real soon. Congregational development. So there are a few groups that we have, and we're already doing these things. Worship, welcoming, education, fellowship, visitation, evangelism, missions, benevolence, finances, media and tracts, building and ground security. There are works to be involved with that's going to help us work together. And they're not just centralized to this building, but to the people of God here at the Ninth and Main Church of Christ. And so when we think about worship, right now, Brother Estes, he's the one that's been putting our roster together, but Brother Velton is actually the one that's actually going about making sure that everyone is in place. So Brother Dustin does his part, and then Sister Tony and I, we go over that list, because at times people are out that Velton doesn't know, I mean that Dustin doesn't know, and then that list is printed out. So Miss Tony does her part, I'm doing my part, Dustin does his part, and then Velton, he does his part. And sometimes his part is harder than ours, because sometimes some people just don't show up, and now he has to hunt people down. Let me say this. Thank you, Brother Velton, for the work you do. He's been doing it for a long time. And so, question, is Dustin's part important? Yes. But is Velton's part important? Yes. And that's part of the work. And so this is something that I'm just going to read. When we think about the work, you have to consider the responsibility and the job description. And any corporation worth their salt is going to have responsibilities and job description. The last thing you want to do is work for someone that doesn't have a job description, because then they could just have you do everything. That don't make no sense. Job description. What's my job description? What am I responsible for? Well, let's just use worship. To ensure proper worship to the Father, according to John 4:24-25. Ensuring the men serving are faithful and providing the roster to Sister Tony in a timely manner every month. So it is our responsibility, as all of us are working together, to make sure that the men that are put before God's people are faithful. And if they're not, then we can't put that person in front of God's people. Why would I want someone in front of me that God's not even hearing? Amen. So we have that and other things that are really just very important for us to consider. And Brother Royce, Brother Brian, hopefully we'll have some of this done within the next week or so, and we'll present it. And then people, y'all can say, okay, this is where I want to be. This is what I want to work in. But, well, what about the sisters? What about the ladies? Well, I got these three books. Y'all smile. The more I was thinking about finding prospects, looking through this book, if you notice on the cards that we gave for y'all to have to put your 10 names on, if you notice, there are 35 sections or people or situations, circumstances that we can really kind of identify and see if we can know someone that we can help out. Like those sitting in the pews, death, divorce, separation, marital problems, new baby, changing job, newlyweds. which means that we can kind of have our eyes open to people on our jobs, family members, so forth and so on. And I was thinking about this, Royce and Brian, I was thinking about this just the other day. You're driving in your neighborhood and you see a U-Haul truck. And people are putting stuff into their new home. Well, I don't need a new movers list for that one. That's an easy one. The only thing I need to do is come here and get a new movers basket, which hopefully we can begin working on some of those things, and take it over there. Which tells me that I need to be aware, instead of me driving to HEB or to Walmart and just making a beeline there, I'm actually going to take a little bit of time and just be scoping out the neighborhood as I'm driving. And then if I see something, like, you know what? Let me write that address down real quick and come back to that. Yes.
Remind me of what, I don't remember where we were, but Tobias did, I think we were in Fort Sam, and Tobias did a lesson, and he said, my mindset has been changed. Instead of just going to the grocery store to get groceries, I'm looking for a person to teach the gospel to.
That's right.
And while I'm looking for a person to teach the gospel to, I might as well pick up some groceries.
Might as well pick up some groceries. That's right. Which means that I'm going to have to take a little bit of time and do things a little bit different. Any comments? Any questions?
It's the same principle that we live to eat versus eat to live. I mean, we start putting things into its proper perspective. All this is a blessing. Food is a blessing and so forth. But again, the purpose of it is to fuel us. It's kind of interesting in the vehicle. Fill it up so much because you have a capacity.
That's right.
And so, again, it's the same purpose of the Christian. We should be filled up and motivated.
That's a good point. Anyone else? Yes.
I have a question. Are the new members baskets, are they going to be prepared beforehand?
Yes.
Like a certain amount?
Yes. Yes. You have some what?
Someone just the other day moved into my apartment.
I mean, we got them around us. We just got to take advantage of it. Good, good. So we need to just jump on some of those things. So it's just taking a little time, but hopefully we'll get this organized very swiftly. It's been about 3, going on 4 weeks. Hopefully we'll get all this kind of set in stone, presented before you as God's people. And we can be on our way to doing 3 things. Number one, glorifying God, Ephesians 3:20-21. We want to glorify God. He gets all of the glory. It's not about so-and-so. Number two, we want to accomplish good works that God has commanded us, Ephesians 2:8-10. And finally, we want to build up one another, Ephesians 4:16. And so that's going to happen when we all do our part, once we put the plan in front of you. Any final thoughts? Any final thoughts? Yes.
In all of this, the only adversary we have is Satan. And he's still trying to get us. He's got to keep on doing it.
Yes. I had someone tell me the other day, and I asked them, why don't you so forth and so forth? She said, Mike, I'm just being lazy. Stop. Well, I'm glad she told me the truth, but stop. Stop being lazy and let's go. It's not enough to admit something. It's not enough to admit I've sinned. What am I going to do about that? So we need to encourage one another, but I believe sometimes, Sister Mary, to your point, which is excellent, I'm my worst enemy. Sometimes it's not someone on the outside stopping me, it's me stopping myself. And so if we can work hard on that, I believe that that can be a benefit to us. Brother Josh and then Brother Eric.
I don't know if it's like this for everybody, but it seems to help me to have somebody in a leadership position, somebody that's going to motivate me. to help me get motivated.
Brother Josh, you're 100% right, and that's good. Next week, we're going to talk about training, and then the last class concerning evangelism and congregational development is going to be motivation. Because there is a motivation. There is a motivation that God's people have to have sometimes. And when we think about seeking and saving the lost, if that's not a motivation, you won't do it. You won't talk to a single soul. As a matter of fact, you'll say, well, I just don't have time for that. Now, you probably won't muster up those words, but you'll just say, I don't have time for that. Brother Eric.
I had the opportunity to take my tips, take some steps back to where I started coming here. The time that, because I'm trying to add someone to the list, because I was almost in renal failure when I came here, but this person is on the dialysis, has a child, and it made me think about what we're doing here is, you know, basically just taking myself, not looking at myself and looking at somebody else, because I'm blessed not to be in that situation. So I thought about adding her because I know her. But I didn't know she had gotten worse. She's gotten worse to where I need to add her because she told me she needed prayer and you know, starting to talk to me, you know, and I just want to add her because she's 29 years old and she has a child and her home is kind of not knowing the Church of Christ because her mom is a minister to her, but I thought about what if she needs to know the truth and set her free from that, because you know she looked up to me and see me wondering why I'm the way I am, and I said I belong to Church of Christ. I'm not the, I don't want to be just an ordinary blind person, because
Well, you're not ordinary. You're a child of God. So you're not ordinary.
So I was trying to tell her that I was a child of God, that I see myself better than I ever have because I have a church family here.
That's right.
I have everything that I need. And I said, I told her, you might think that you have everything you need, but there's better.
That's right.
I wanted to show her that there's better because I use everything to show that I love my God. I care about myself, but I care for others also because I'm doing what Jesus would do.
That's right.
And I want her to see that. And that's why I want to put her on the, send her a card.
Well, give us her information so we can do that.
I got it on my phone.
All right. Real quick, Sister Frida, the address is a 1925 Rainey, R-A-N-E-Y, 1925 Rainey, R-A-N-E-Y. The zip code is 76901, apartment 44. Yes, ma'am. Gilbert and Vanessa Martinez. Ma'am? Yes, ma'am. Vanessa Martinez. Yes, ma'am. Her mother, their mother was sitting on the end. The rest of them were the children. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Josh, you had your hand up?
Just to substantiate Joshua's point, back in Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 9, verse 12, verse 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, it mentions by inspiration such and such leader, the leader of.
That's right.
Along with them.
That's right.
Working alongside them. But also, verse 5 says, next to them, the
Tifoites made repairs, but their nobles did not put their shoulders to the work of their world.
That's a good point.
So, I mean, the leaders, I would say they make an impact, and God's going to point out when they're not.
That's right. Excellent observation. Anyone else? Any final thoughts?
I want to beat off one point again. This week and next week is going to be spring break next week, and there's likely to be something out. I mean, we've had a lot out today, a lot of people that are out preaching and teaching. You mentioned it this morning. It doesn't mean we're out, though. We're out working. So I don't think we should ever look around and say, hey, we're low in number, and then be discouraged.
That's right.
That's inappropriate.
That's right.
People right now that aren't here are working. And we will, when the time is right, once a month, we've got this fellowship meal set up for our enjoyment. Today, people enjoyed that meal, even though a lot of us weren't there. Nobody left here unhappy.
Brian, thank you for saying that, because the last thing that someone who's out preaching the gospel or helping someone want to hear when they get back, where were you? You wasn't here. Well, hold up. Hold up. The work of the Lord is greater than one place. And so appreciate that. And it's inappropriate for us to say, well, they wasn't here because, hold on. You got this young man, he's out preaching. Josh was preaching this morning. Zach was out preaching this morning. Tobias out preaching. Royce was out preaching. Ryan was out there and he's doing work at Arise. I mean, there were so many people out there working. That's a blessing to be in a part, be part of a congregation that you got men able to do that. And so, and the base, as long as the base is strong, you can send men out. But when the base is not strong, you can't send men out. As a matter of fact, you need men to come to you. Sister Tony.
We were blessed to be able to go back to Taylor, where we were before we were here, and Lord preached this morning, and the people that we stayed with last night, we just had a great visit. Hospitality was amazing. And then this morning we went in, we saw a table like ours is. They're doing the same program. They're calling people, they're checking on people, there were so many people that we didn't know that we knew from the time that we had been there. And, you know, they were going, are we all doing this too? It was encouraging to them that we were, but it was encouraging to me that they were.
That's
that
right.
We're trying to save souls as well as we know.
That's right.
And on just another note, if anyone at any time has an address, and we're going to have two more for Wednesday besides this, send them to me. You can text them to me. You can email them to the church building. You can email them to me. But that's, I need to get that so we can get that on the board. So that's that contact if you need one.
Excellent.
1 Corinthians 3, verse 6, Paul would say, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase.
And as long as we keep that attitude, it'll be all right. Any final thoughts? Appreciate y'all's work tonight. Appreciate you striving to do what you need to do, and you're doing a great job. Let's just keep it up. I'm going to ask Brother Royce, if he doesn't mind, to lead us in a closing prayer.